League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Don't sweat the technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I'd rather deal with cramps than drink pickle juice. Pickle juice, I don't mind pickle juice.
I don't have a problem with it.
I can drink some pickle juice. Pickle juice is for health what duct tape is for construction. Cure all.
My wife is the one that tried to debunk the pickle juice. It did say when I looked it up that it's not the first line of defense for dehydration, but it does, because of the sodium and potassium, it does help.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. King of Twitch, he says we're talking cramps. You get cramps because you're dehydrated. Like, it's part of the reason you get cramps. Dehydration, electrolyte imbalance. There's a lot. I mean, there's several reasons you get cramps, but usually the leading cause is dehydration. So if you're looking to rehydrate, get a little sodium in your body. No big deal. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Did you see Vegas disrespecting the Houston Rockets?
That's because one of the hot teams, the sleeper teams that everybody loves and the popularity is there for, the Golden State Warriors.
Golden State is minus 200 to win the series against the Rockets. The Rockets are plus 165 to win the series. You know what's weird about this, though? The Rockets are favored to win game one. So it's odd to me that the team that is favored to win the first game of the series at home, and the team has home court advantage, is the underdog in the series. I feel like the balance there is not accurate.
I think the hype of game one in Houston lends them to think that the Rockets could get game one. But I do believe that the Warriors can get game two. I think that they will hold serve at home. So I understand what you're saying, but I think that because you got a young playoff inexperienced team for the most part, I think the hype and the city and the return to the playoffs and riding all that wave, I think that stands a good reason why they're favored in game one. I just think that starting with game two, look the hell out.
Let's say Vegas is right in game one. Who's favored in game two?
Golden State by at least 2 or 3 points.
If the Rockets win game one, yep, the Rockets are 2.5, 3-point underdogs in game two?
Unless Golden State gets its doors blown off in game one, I think Golden State will be possibly favored in game two by a point or two. They're a veteran team. They will come out of the corner scratching and clawing.
I just don't know why you'd be a 1.5 underdog in game one, lose a game, and then be favored in game two. That does not really add up.
Like I said, depending on how the game goes, I think because of the fact that with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and the veterans that they have, that I think that they know what they got to do, and I think that they would come out swinging to the point where that's why.
Yeah. Okay, here I did something stupid today. I don't know if this is stupid or smart. I don't think the math is math in here. The Rockets are plus 165 to win the series. They're underdogs in this. Mm-hmm. Golden State's minus 200. Minus 200. I find it very bizarre that the team with home court advantage is favored in game one and then is a plus 165 underdog to win the series. So here's what I'm doing, and I don't know if this is smart. I have no idea. You guys let me know, 713-780-3776, but I'm going to experiment a little bit. I played a 7-unit bet on the Rockets to win this series at plus 165. But also, I'm going to play the Golden State money line, 1 unit in every single game. I think I can middle this. I think I'm going to middle this for a profit. Now, it's hard to know for sure because you don't know what the odds are going to be in game 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, if necessary. But I think I'm going to come out ahead in this. I have no idea if I will, but I think I'm going to.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting experiment to see how that plays out.
I think I'm going to come out ahead.
I have no interest in doing that math. I think there's
no way to do the math yet because we have a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, sure, we don't know variables. Spreads in games 2 through.
I'm not doing I'm not doing the spread. I'm going to do money line every game. But I just don't understand how a team that's +165 to win the series has home court advantage in the series, is a home favorite in game one, in 165 underdogs to win the series. So I think I can find value in the middle here.
Is that Vegas just playing the public side? Because I mean,
probably
because they have to boost the Warriors up a little bit. Otherwise, the public's going to hammer the Warriors, and they let themselves leveraged.
You're probably right, but am I gaining value by finding it?
Yeah, probably so.
I think
probably
I am.
So.
I think I'm gaining value here.
I think there's a good possibility. I think from a national perspective, less than the Lakers, Golden State is the sexy pick by a lot of people to win more than this series.
Yeah. No doubt. The texture says Warriors are +450 to win in 5 blankers. Are you taking that?
No, I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to go 6.
Warriors in 6 at home?
I think Warriors are probably winning 6.
I'm going to go Rockets in 7. Calling it now. Brian, you want to go ahead and put your name on the record for it?
Rockets in 6.
Rockets in 6.
I don't see them closing it out in Golden State.
No.
I had that internal dialogue with myself today, Brian. I was like, I feel like Rockets in 6, but I don't think they're going to close it out on the road. Let me go Rockets in 7.
So it's 2-3-1-1-1. I mean 2-2-1-1-1.
Isn't it into the finals?
It should be. I believe.
I think that's right.
Yeah. 2-2-1-1-1 into the finals. Okay. Well, I mean the Rockets haven't been in the playoffs forever. I might have forgotten.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to remember what it was.
They might have changed it since.
If it's 2-2-1-1-1. Yeah, I think Warriors win at 6.
I thought it was always been 2-2-1-1-1 until you get to the finals, and then it goes 2-3-2.
They changed it because of the Lakers and Celtics in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, it was the whole cross-country travel right. If you get the Eastern Conference team on the East Coast. And
they haven't changed it since 2020. I'm pretty confident in that.
No, you're right.
Yeah, so I'm going with a progressive bet on Golden State, but a series bet on the Rockets, hoping to middle it and get a little bit of value here. A Texter, they're a veteran team. They're old. They got tired legs, and they're going down in the first round. Watching the game last night, though, I said on the air yesterday, I do not care. Watching this game and seeing playoff Jimmy.
Oh, boy, was he good.
I was rooting for Memphis to pull the victory.
I was rooting for Memphis the entire game.
I did find myself there.
And I was worried about, could they sustain the start? But I started to worry when I looked at Butler having 14 points in the first quarter. And I'm like, if he's got 14 in the first quarter and how quickly they erased that deficit, as much as the regular season, yeah, there was a little something to it. But in the playoffs, with all their experience, and he is playoff Jimmy, yeah, that was a bit unnerving.
Yeah, that's where I started to find some concern. And Steph's been in there playing with a soft cast on his right hand and having no ill effect.
No, and he had a slow start. He missed his first couple shots and then just turned it on.
So I did find myself pulling for Memphis in that game. I do feel now that the Rockets match up better with Memphis than they do Golden State. But hey, I still have the Rockets winning this series. And
I wanted Memphis. I thought that was a better matchup for them. I think the personnel has changed enough to where I don't think it's any more of they have our number. I just think their experience matters, and I think that when you get guys that aren't on their deathbed of their careers in terms of how much they got left in the tank, when you got Butler and you got Steph, those guys have been there, done it, and done it at a very high level for a long time. And last night proved to me that both guys can still do it.
Yeah, they both looked good last night. Hopefully over the length of a 7-game series, you can kind of wear on them. I do think the Rockets are far better than Memphis, though. And Memphis almost came from behind and won that game.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing, too, is if you saw what Golden State tried to do defensively, because they don't use their bigs a whole lot, they were trying to put Butler and Draymond on Jaren Jackson Jr. and on Edie. And I just think that if you go with Steven Adams and Şengün, I think Golden State has a whole lot of problems physically trying to stop those two guys.
Memphis, when they went with size, gave Golden State fits.
Yep.
That's what got them back in the game.
And that's what I think the Rockets have to do. I think that's why that double big lineup is so big. I know it's been effective in small doses and when the Rockets have used it. I think they got to focus on it in this series because I think it's a distinct advantage for them.
Carlos on Twitter, I don't know how Golden State is a favorite when Draymond's jump shot is broken. Dude can't hit a wide open shot to save his soul. Yeah, they're not asking Draymond to shoot the basketball a lot. They probably don't want him to shoot the basketball.
He's up for Defensive Player of the Year. He means a ton to them defensively. He's a really good passing big, and they don't want him to shoot. If everything goes as planned with Buddy Hield and some of the other guys that they have, along with Steph and Jimmy, they don't want him to shoot.
What do you think is the over-under of how many times Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green get into it? Not like physically fight, but just
right.
Like training barbs.
Over-under is probably 4.5.
Yeah, I think they're going to. I think there's going to be some drama.
I think almost every game there will be some kind of word spoken and some kind of pushing and shoving.
I can't wait.
And I think Draymond's going to try and send a message to Şengün too. Mm-hmm. I think he'll early on he'll do something borderline dirty, just to see how's the young kid react.
Who was the dude that did that the other day?
In which game?
Oh, it was Draymond.
Yeah, it was Draymond.
It was Draymond.
Yeah, Draymond got into it with Şengün on multiple occasions.
Yeah, that was the one where Draymond got teed up for the elbow. And then later in the game, he did the elbow to the face.
Yeah, because Şengün embellished it and like actively got hit by a sniper. And then Draymond, they gave him the T and he said thank you and should have probably gotten another one then. But then, yeah, on the drive, stuck his elbow right in Shengun's grill.
You remember the last time that Steph Curry played the Rockets? You remember what happened?
He scored 3 points.
1 for 10, 1 for 8 from three. Rockets in four.
You remember what Steph's done in the playoffs to the Rockets?
Yeah, different Steph. Oh, yeah. He's far older now.
Shoot, Steven Adams said about Draymond Green. Tough for us to be mates when he's kicked me in the twice.
When he's what?
Kicked him in the nuts twice. And then I went back and saw the video. It was more than twice.
I love Steven Adams. The accent.
Draymond has kicked him in the groin at least 3 times.
Would you mind if Steven Adams just took out Draymond?
It would be awesome. I mean, look, I think the one thing that's it's puzzling to me, there's no doubt a intimidation factor of Steven Adams across the league that everybody knows. You probably don't want to mess with him. But the thing that bothers me is that Steven Adams never retaliates. He never, ever lets his emotions get to the point where he retaliates. And then it was this year against Golden State when they threw him out and he was in the tunnel that he finally something snapped on him.
Was that Golden State? I thought that was Zeller.
I thought it was the Golden State game where they had to hold him back in the tunnel where something's finally clicked with him. And he was like, wait a minute, I got thrown out for this. And I thought that's when he really got fired up. But otherwise, I want Steven Adams to retaliate. I want to see him send a message.
He's such a big dude, too.
And he's like ox strong.
Mason Plumlee. It was Mason Plumlee.
Oh, so it was the...
I got my tall white stiffs confused.
What was that, New Orleans or Phoenix?
Steven Adams, Mason Plumlee. I can't remember who he plays for. Doesn't he play for the Pistons?
I don't think so, because Isaiah Stewart would have been.
No, Suns. Yeah, you'd better. Yeah. Mason Plumlee with the Suns, not Golden State. How you feeling about this series? 713-780-ESPN. Also, I have major beef with the NBA. Something I don't like about what they're doing. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
I just realized I missed about a dozen company texts. I muted it. That's why I missed them. I muted that instantly.
You had her muted? Her in general?
That chat.
Okay.
That entire group chat.
I don't blame you.
I don't like notifications. I don't like to be bothered.
I think we knew that about you.
Let me do my thing. Don't bother me. Let me watch my things. Let me hang out with my family. Church on Sundays. That's it. Just let me do that. Don't bother me. That's what I asked for.
And then I got all the responses.
Yeah, I muted. I didn't.
Well, you were responsible for at least one of those.
I did because.
Oh, you're active?
Yeah. I actually got into it because Paul was making
into it.
Of,
you got into something?
Well, I actually made a comment on it because they were talking about the fact that I didn't realize this, and the Rockets sent us these playoff boxes, and. Evidently, they're in the past, or there might be even in there. There's M&Ms, and Paul's like, I tried an M&M once, and Paul was notorious for his going into his adulthood and never trying a Reese's peanut butter.
Oh, not just adulthood. This was in the last 6 months.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You can see why I muted this chat.
No, I'm totally
this
with you.
Thrilling conversation that I'm missing.
When 30 somethings have tried Reese's granada. For the first time,
I didn't read it yet. I was making a TikTok
Sam
and noticed I had notifications.
All of us. Because the Rockets sent us jerseys, to send her a picture of us with the jersey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then
Granato
responded, I'm not much of a jersey guy, but I have a Rockets jacket. I can do that. And then Lance was like, they sent us jerseys, John. But unfortunately, I gave yours away to a guy named Granato that works downstairs. And then Paul was like, I tried one M&M. I'm like, and here we go. And from there, it went amok.
It's muted for me. 713-780-ESPN.
You better take a picture with your jersey.
Or what?
Or Sam's going to be very upset.
Ooh.
Thank you, Scott Hall.
Ooh.
There'll be ramifications.
Like what?
She'll post a video up for our show and not have any of...
The headlines will be fear-mongered?
Something will go...
she'll intentionally take you out of context.
Yeah, admin is getting on Bad Take Boulevard tomorrow.
They handled that yesterday for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do it more often. Action comes with repercussion. Certain actions. Brandon, I'm on my way to Sedona. What activities do you recommend?
Here we go.
Hiking, and we did a wine tasting thing and hiking. That's mm-hmm. that's what you need.
Obviously, you would also recommend eating a nice caprese salad.
Caprese salad? Did I have a caprese there?
I thought you did. I thought that's how the conversation came up.
I believe that's correct.
I can't remember the place that we went, but you're right. I did have a caprese salad there. I also had a skirt steak with chimichurri.
Now, that I'm with. Well. Yeah, that's elite.
I can't remember the place we went to, though. I think it had like a wagon wheel outside, though. It's right there in
Cheddar's.
Sedona. No, it was specific to Sedona. But I would recommend the hiking, yes. The sunset near the airport is nice, but you got to get there early to get a spot because it gets crowded quick.
To see the sunset?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very popular spot in Sedona. It's right by their little – they have a little bitty airport that's like private planes and stuff, and it's on the top of a mountain. So get up there, watch the sunset, get there early. You'll like that. Get a caprese salad with skirt steak and chimichurri at the place that I think has a wagon wheel outside, but I don't remember the name. And wine tasting. The wine tasting, we did right there on the strip, second story of one of the buildings, and it overlooks like the scenery, and you can see the mountains in the backdrop. Really nice.
What's the other place that might have the wagon wheel that's the chain that is like Cheddar's?
Big Bear Diner?
No.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's like a country...
Cracker Barrel?
Cracker Barrel. There you go. Oh. They might have a wagon wheel out front.
Probably
I've seen
do.
Some that do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Cracker Barrel's crack
always have
up.
They always have the rockers out front.
That too.
In like the chessboard or the checkerboard.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if a few of them have wagon wheels, though.
That's
like
possible.
It seems kind of up there, like mm-hmm. down their lane.
There's
I think.
Definitely a wagon wheel deck. Somewhere on the yeah. premises. Yeah.
They
yeah,
put for that sure. deck out front with the rockers.
I could see yeah. it. Maybe not every one, but maybe every like three or four.
And if it's not on the porch, it's decorated. It's part of the decorations inside somewhere, hanging from the ceiling.
It's crazy to me the games that they give you on the table whenever you play.
Oh, yeah. The little, what do they call that? The triangle with the pegs?
I don't know. You say it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying it. Nope.
Now I'm genuinely blanking on the name.
It's Chinese checkers.
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Okay.
It's Chinese checkers. I think you can still say that.
I can't think of the
name. I'm not McDonald-ing on the name.
I think you can still say
that. Oh, really?
Cracker Barrel is weird to me because they have like a million things on the menu.
Oh, for
which
sure.
Which I'm never a fan of. And
it's
then
like
they
Country Cheesecake Factory.
And then they have a store before you walk in.
Yeah.
It's like a miniature Buc-ee's when
it
you
really
walk through
is.
There. It's yeah. so bizarre.
It's
almost
world.
Like a combination of what you would see at the airport and then kind of a country store you walk into.
Yeah, it's weird.
All in one locale.
What when's the last time you've been to a Cracker Barrel?
About a year ago.
I'd say
it been that recent?
Within the last 5 years.
Okay, probably me too. I think we went there as a football radio team for lunch one day.
Well, there's a Cracker Barrel.
3 or 4 years ago, maybe?
I mean, Jeremy knows, is familiar with the area I live in.
That's right. I know all about the livable forest.
There's a Cracker Barrel that's literally 3 minutes from a house right there at the corner of 59 and North Park. So, yeah, I've been there, you know, a couple times a year.
So what do you get there?
Generally, I'll go for the fried fish or in some biscuits and things like that.
Fried fish and biscuits. Okay.
Mac and cheese.
All right. Peg game is in Chinese checkers, texture says. In fact, now that he said that, he's right, because I have played Chinese. Chinese checkers
is a star.
It's a star.
It's a star.
And you sit at each point of the star.
Yeah.
So thank you, texture. You're right. I got that backwards.
So what is the triangle?
I don't remember what that one is called now. I think something checkers. Maybe country checkers. I don't know. I'm making stuff up now. But you're right. You're right. Now that you mentioned that, I do remember what Chinese. You play it with like the little
marbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can jump yours.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can jump everybody's, but you have to fill the portion of somebody else's star to win. I like Chinese checkers. Chinese checkers is pretty fun.
I think Google AI is not accurate. I tried to find what the name of this game is because I know it's got a name. I couldn't remember it. And it came back with telling me that it's called Peg Solitaire.
Yeah, they might be right. I've never heard of it as peg solitaire,
though. I haven't either. That's not the name I was thinking of.
Cracker Barrel peg game.
Yeah, that's what I Googled, and it came back with peg solitaire.
Okay. All right. Have you ever been able to win peg solitaire?
Sorry?
Have you ever been able to win it?
I've gotten down to three, I think.
Three?
I think. That's weird. I'm not tracking. I'm not keeping a journal of the best I've ever done. I don't think I've ever gotten down to one, though.
B-Mac getting fried fish from Crackle Barrel. I've called the FBI. That is a weird order.
I like fried fish. What?
That one in Kingwood has had some issues.
Has it?
Yeah, like bloody stuff and
fun. Really? Oh. That would have been information useful to me before.
Welcome to our studio.
Allegedly. Okay. Allegedly. Yeah. Okay. Usually I get breakfast there.
Like yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
I get the breakfast there.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. Maybe I've had the chicken and dumplings there.
You know, I should retract that. Most of the time it is breakfast or chicken fried.
Yeah, I bet you want to retract it. Yeah.
Most of the time it's either breakfast or chicken fried steak. I think the last thing I had there was fried fish, so it was on my mind. But no, it's usually chicken fried steak or breakfast.
Yo, what is this segment? It's fun, is what it is. Texture.
Cracker Barrel talk.
Texture says, I want to be in that group chat. Laughing emoji. You do not want to be in that
group
chat.
No, you do not. There's been some very spirited conversations in that thing in the past.
You don't want to waste your time. Eric the Driver, why has no one ever just hit Draymond? He's been a dirty rat of a player for years. You would think someone would have given him an elbow to the nose or a foot under his jumper by now. That's a good point.
I don't disagree with that at all. What's his name from Nurkic? I thought after that cheap shot last year? That when he swung around and caught Nurkic in the side of the face? I thought, if I'm Nurkic, I am going all out on that dude.
Yeah. I'm surprised that somebody hasn't been set off even further. Rockets don't have the experience. Golden State in five. That's quick series. Rockets lost in five. I'd be a little disappointed. I just want to say, as a fried chicken enthusiast, Cracker Barrel has some highly underrated fried chicken. There you go. Texas says Green is huge. Yeah, but so are other NBA guys. Like, he's 6'8". He's fat.
Huge. He's not ripped up and all that. I don't think he's huge. I think he's
not like tall and skinny.
He's dirty and cagey because he picks his spots really well, and then he tries to hide it by he does it in such a way that he tries to make it look like it was part of the play.
His texture says Green's usually messing with smaller dudes. That's true.
That's not wrong, except for the Nurkic one last year.
Yeah. Yep. Here's my beef with the NBA.
Let's hear it.
Why does it take so long to play series in the NBA? Why are we taking 2 full weeks to play a series in the NBA? Rockets play on Sunday, game one. Yeah. They have Monday and Tuesday off before they play game two. Mm-hmm. They then have off Thursday and Friday before they play game three. And then the rest of the series finally has the one day off in between games. Why do we have 2 days off between game one and game two and 2 games off between game two and game three? That's far too long. One day off is all you need between games. That's all you need.
I can tell you that it's because of TV, because their master plan as a league is that this is their time, so they want to space the games out so that there is a game on or 2 games every single night, especially in the first round. So they give the extra day on travel days and or if there's any distance traveling to one of the coasts to try and use that as, you know, we don't want the players to be tired out if they have to travel too far. But the main reason is because they're trying to get a minimum of one and preferably 2 games a night every single night for the next 2 weeks.
That's great and all. I hate it.
I hate it. I understand why you hate it, but I'm just telling you that's absolutely what they're thinking.
Let's go back to the throwbacks. 1 day off between games, that's it.
Well, especially like in the NBA Finals when you can't have a game on every night. Sometimes you have 2 games even on I believe there's sometimes 2 days off even when the teams aren't traveling.
Yeah.
And just every other game, every other day, there's no reason to complicate this.
And am I acting brand new because the Rockets haven't been in the playoffs since 2020? Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
I probably am acting brand new. I don't care. That's too many days off. You don't need 2 days off whenever you're not traveling. Steph Curry's going to be out playing golf on those 2 days.
Yeah, they won't, and if you notice it, they won't do it as you get into the Western Conference, Eastern Conference, like finals and the finals, because now you just don't have to worry about it. You're not, and they want a game on every night, so they're going to actually make you play in shorter spans. But because of so many teams in the opening round of the playoffs, they're going to space it out.
Don't like it.
And because they're unwilling to have games on, like Major League Baseball doesn't have that same issue because they're willing to play games at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday, but the NBA is not. So You're not going to have you're going to have that spacing out.
I don't think
out
I want
issue.
An NBA game on during.
I'm not saying I do. It's always been weird that baseball does that, but
it's pretty weird that the Rockets don't play until Sunday night at 8:30 too.
I actually like the Sunday night game instead of Sunday afternoon because it's Easter and I have like Easter stuff going on. So I prefer that.
It is easier for me to watch.
Yeah, you can be able to stay awake.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
I'm trashing the NBA. Did I tell you that I hung out with Adam Silver? He was in San Antonio whenever I was up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we crossed paths down the hallway.
I didn't realize he was a Dukie.
I didn't either.
Yeah, he went to Duke, and that's why he was there, was following Duke.
They announced, like, the Hall of Famers there. So, like, Dwight Howard was there, Carmelo Anthony was there, Billy Donovan was there, the referee was there. Danny Crawford?
Joey?
No, I think it's Danny. I want to say
Black
it's Danny. Yeah,
with a mustache? Danny.
Yeah.
Well, Joey Crawford's
it took you
a stubby
all of that
little white
to know
guy.
It. I know that.
And Danny is a light-skinned black guy with a mustache.
Well, I mean, I said Danny.
Okay. I said Joey. I wasn't sure because I wasn't sure Danny's career was good enough to get in the Hall of Fame.
Why is there a referee getting into the Hall of Fame?
I mean.
That shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen.
If they had
How many
really
refs are
long
in?
Careers.
No clue. No, they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Like, a referee's job is to go unnoticed. Like, you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame as a referee.
There's plenty that are in.
If you had a referee Hall of Fame by itself, okay, different story.
But I'll put one
a
referee
pro
in.
Basketball Hall of Fame with referees in it.
Ain't nobody going to.
It's ridiculous.
Who's going to go visit the referee?
Their
Hall
family.
Of Fame? They're going to go vandalize it because they hate referees.
For the installation there, they're going to hang the whistle. I mean, what are we putting in there for people to visit? As
I mean, there's a lot of Hall of Fames that nobody's visiting. We love John and Lance. Nobody's going to the Texas Sports Radio Hall of Fame.
Sure, but it's just like usually at these Hall
the
of Fames, they
open and you're on a road trip, and that might be the only building around.
Well, then why wouldn't you go to the Referee Hall of Fame to do the same thing?
Are they paying for a bus for the referees?
A bust?
Yeah, a bust.
I don't know, man.
I'm just curious because usually you have something to look
basketball
at.
Basketball Hall of Fame.
I've been there twice. I don't remember.
Football, there definitely is.
Yeah,
I don't ever remember hearing about.
I think you might be right.
Busts
basketball
for
doesn't
basketball
have
players.
One. What is it? Just like a plaque?
Yeah, maybe. Or
what's in the, what? Like what? What are you looking
they,
at when
they,
you
they
go
used
through?
To do like a locker okay. or something.
It features statues, busts, and busts are part of those displayed. I guess I don't remember. Have you been there?
I've never been.
I've been there twice, and I have no clue.
I've not been
very memorable.
Football, basketball, or baseball Hall of Fame.
Huh.
I need to go.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. I thought it was okay. It's not memorable for me. Rockets in 4, said what I said, let's go. There you go. Dubs in 7, only Fred VanVleet has legit playoff experience. Is Dylan Brooks not?
Yeah, he does.
Does
Steven Adams does Jeff with Green. OKC.
Texture says, come on, Branham, it's WrestleMania Day. I usually watch that on DVR, though, so that won't impact me.
That kind of DVR, you're not watching wrestling on DVR.
It's a streaming replay, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know.
You knew what I meant.
I know, but it sounds old when you say DVR when it's on Peacock.
I am old.
Okay, fair.
I'm a millennial who identifies as a boomer.
That's fair.
Cracker Barrel game is called Hi-Q. There you go. I like how I mentioned fried chicken and the three white men went silent. Chickenism. I like fried chicken. I don't like it from Golden Corral.
Yeah, I never thought about getting fried chicken at Golden Corral.
My favorite fried chicken places, Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken on Washington. Now, it's better in the real spot in Memphis. I went to the original. Way better there. Frenchies ain't bad. Frenchies ain't bad. They do a lot of U of H stuff, so I ate a lot of Frenchies. A lot of Frenchies. Restaurant Inn used to be a popular place to get fried chicken. I think it's a little overrated at Restaurant Inn.
Okay. I wonder if we're thinking of the same place or if I had the wrong name, but a show I worked on at a different station took us to a place called Barbecue Inn.
That's what it is, not Restaurant
okay.
Inn. Okay, all
right, yeah, they had great it was obviously counterintuitive because it's called Barbecue Inn, but great fried chicken.
Yeah, my favorite is Gus's. Have you had Gus's?
I have not. I've had Frenchies and Barbecue Inn, but
Gus's is my favorite.
Is there a Frenchies on Memorial by
There's
Memorial
a lot of
Park?
Them. They're all over. There's a lot of them.
They're all over. The Frenchies is my favorite whenever I'm going like fast food.
There's yeah. one, isn't there a Frenchies that's right by U of H?
Oh,
that's
it's right
very
there.
Popular.
Yeah, yeah. They tore down the old
right?
one and they built a new one. It's huge now.
Yeah, that's what yeah.
Yeah, I like to go there every now and then and get actually their shrimp combo. It's like the batter that they use for their chicken, but it's nice little shrimp. You know, my wife doesn't love seafood, so like, I go by there real quick. Max's Wine Dive is known for their fried
Haven't
chicken.
Tried that.
Are you really?
It's okay. It's
the
not
one off
bad.
Of Washington or right on Washington.
Yeah, I believe so. But my favorite by far is is Gus's. Gus's is fantastic. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Are you bored with the NFL draft this year? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, we know tax day was yesterday, but the deadline to fight your property taxes and challenge them is May the 15th. You've got to get going now if you want to win the big game with your property taxes by using someone that knows what they're doing, like Century Property Tax Consultants. They are here to help you. They have over 60 combined years of experience. Century Property Tax Consultants are here to help you win, and they're going to win big. Whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, or business properties, they're going to fight to reduce your taxes. The biggest and best thing that I can tell you is whether they win or lose matters more so than anything else, because if they lose, you don't have to pay. The only time you have to pay them is if they win your case. That is a win-win proposition, because if they lose, you don't have to pay a thing. If they win, you're going to save a bunch of money anyway, so you don't mind paying them because they did their job. It's absolutely fantastic. And like I said, with the experience that they have, this is where you need to go. Go to CPROtax.com right now. Get the process started. They're going to do all the work. They're going to challenge it. You don't have to go to court. You don't have to make the case. They're going to do it for you. They'll get what they need from you. They'll get the job done. And they'll do it right and save you money. It's absolutely fantastic. CPROtax.com is where you need to go, and they'll take it from there. Century Property Tax Consultants, 60 years combined experience in the business for every kind of property, residential, commercial, industrial, and business. Check them out today. Don't pay more on taxes than you need to.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Homemade fried chicken slaps. I heard food smacks, not slaps. I'm not a big home cook kind of guy. I'll do steak. I'm pretty basic with my cooking. I don't want to take on that task. Can't imagine being good.
Don't do it a lot. I can do it. I mean, I grew up in a household, though, where my dad did it, and it was fantastic most times.
Have you done fried chicken?
No, I have not.
Texas tradition in Katy, best chicken fried chicken, best cream gravy. I've never even heard of it. I'm usually not that way, though. That's kind of out of the way for me. But I'll keep it in mind.
I think I told you that before, though. My parents owned and operated their own restaurant, my dad did the cooking. So my dad would cook on the weekends.
Yeah, you've told me. Yeah, Roscoe's fried chicken in Cali's the best. I've heard that the Roscoe's in La Brea is the best Roscoe's. Didn't have a chance to get out there, though. But I've heard the Roscoe's in La Brea is better than every other Roscoe's they have out there. But I have not sampled the fine cuisine, so I couldn't comment on
Roscoe's.
But I've heard great things.
Frenchie's and Gus's.
Well, Roscoe's is a California thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, Roscoe's famous chicken.
I've definitely heard of it, yes.
But I've heard the one in La Brea is the one to go to, not any of the others. All right, is the NFL draft boring this year? Lamont brought this up to us the other day. He's like, even other radio stations that are like nonstop draft right now aren't even talking a whole lot of draft. Are you bored with the NFL draft this year compared to others?
No, I'm very interested in it. And obviously, I think the Texans can do a lot of good to help themselves with it. And I'm also interested because I think they need to from a certain degree. I know Paul was crapping all over it because it's in Green Bay. But I don't think that factors in. I think that from a draft perspective, you still have a lot of picks in this draft. I'm not bored with it. I think that it's less than 2 weeks out. But maybe because you're not drafting in the top 5 to 10 picks in the draft, that it's different for some Texans fans. But I don't feel that way.
Brian, what are you doing jumping? I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, it seemed like you're pausing for
me. I heard your mic turn on. So
okay. I was giving you a second there to make sure. I feel like a casual for saying this, but I think I am kind of a little bored by this process. I think part of it is what Joel said, like with the Texans picking at 25, you're not talking about the elite of the elite of the elite. It's, you know, you're a tier or two down, so that definitely plays into it. I think it's also the talent level at quarterback and wide receiver, you know, the sexiest positions, the names we all talk about because we saw them make highlight plays in college. Like Cam Ward's a big name, and he's obviously projected to go number one. But quarterback after that feels like it's a bunch of just guys. It's same thing at wide receiver where, like, okay, Matthew Golden looks pretty good. But, I mean, last year Matthew Golden would probably have been like a – like a mid-second round pick behind the stars like Brian Thomas and other guys that went in a really deep wide receiver class last year. So I think it's partially where the Texans are picking, and then specifically a quarterback, a wide receiver. There just isn't the big, sexy names that they're used to seeing, and I think that has taken some of my excitement away for the draft.
I felt we were more plugged into last year's draft, and the Texans didn't pick till 42.
Good point.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's my theory on why this year – and look, I'm not bored by the draft. I would say – I would use a different term for it. I think it's been more on the back burner than last year. Did the Rockets make the playoffs last year?
No.
Nope.
Okay, when do the NBA playoffs occur? Right around Easter weekend. Right, they get started right before the NFL draft. So that has been something that has taken our priority. Houston went to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Look, and I know this is like Houston's very much a transplant city, but that was something that all eyes were on the Houston Cougars for 3 weeks of the NCAA tournament. They didn't go to the Final Four last year, so they extended their season a week longer than it was last season. So that put the draft a little bit further on the back burner. But if Houston gets eliminated first, second weekend of the NCAA tournament, if the Rockets are a Steven Silas coach team and they lost 45-50 games, we would have been all in on the NFL draft 2 to 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it's a boring thing. I think it's more that it's taken a back seat to more pertinent matters, especially because it's not here yet. Like, it happens next week. So now that, okay, basketball season's done in the college game. Now, the Rockets still being in the playoffs is going to interfere with this.
Yep.
Like, we're not going to have as much draft dialogue because the Rockets are still playing in the postseason for the first time since 2020. So, board no, back burner yes.
I think, Brian, when he first said, I was like, I don't think, because as a Texans fan, I'm not concerned with quarterback and to some degree big-time wide receiver. But I think that because of the fact that I'm still a football fan, and I know that the top of the draft talent means something to watch where they land, that you're probably right, because the entire quarterback class is less than, that we don't have these dominant wide receiver ones coming out, that affects it. Running back is a kind of lost luster position in a lot of ways. So maybe that has something to do.
I mean, this year's going to running back draft, though.
It's got like Genty at the top with Genty.
Genty's a lock to be top 10.
And
Amari
and
Hampton.
Carolina?
Yep.
Yeah,
Amari, like, I've seen draft buzz for him climb big time.
Yes.
It looks like he'll be a first-round pick also.
No, they're talking teens.
Yeah, teens.
Really?
They're talking Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that with Dallas. Like, they're needy.
If I had to bet right now, I bet he's off the board by the time the Texans pick. For sure. For sure. Are you bored with the draft this year? 713-780-ESPN. Also, Daniel Jeremiah, who I think's the most plugged-in draft guy outside of our very own Lance Erline, he's the one who predicted that the Texans would draft Stroud at 2, then trade up for Will Anderson at number 3 a couple of years ago. He gives a hint on who the Texans could be drafting at pick 25. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
God, we should just put all the dumb people in just put them in one state. And just,
well,
just,
somebody
I'm
got
tired it. Of these dummies.
What
I kept using it because I thought it was a skin irritation.
You could get diarrhea. Oh, yeah, what is diarrhea? When you poop soup, honestly.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is the draft boring? 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Honey Glaze Branham, I think, is making his Killer Bee Hive calling in debut. Is that true? Honey Glaze Branham?
Is
this the
so.
First time calling in for you?
Yes.
There you go.
Hello, guys.
Hey, honey.
Little work to do on the show. You know, I'm not going to be one of these guys that says, great show. You need a little work.
Thanks.
Joel,
you tell us on a daily basis.
Well, yeah, but I love you, Joel, Jeremy, and, of course, Brian. What I'm getting at here is, well, really, I don't know. I'm just giving you an update on my situation. Remember I was telling you about that devil woman I used to work with?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got a new job. Now I travel all over the state.
Congrats.
Really got nothing to talk about. I just want to talk to you guys.
All right. Well, that plays really well on Sports Talk
Radio.
We
can put you on hold. Brian's not doing a lot. He could probably just converse with you for about 5-10 minutes if you want to catch up.
Brian has Ryan in here teaching him how to produce, so he's not doing anything. I've never seen a producer.
Well, you know, the first call is always bad, right?
Yeah, it's awful, really.
You got to work into it.
All right, we're going to hang up on you.
Try back in about 6 months. Otherwise, stick to the text. They're good.
We'll hang up on him. That was atrocious. What a rookie. What a noob. I'm not sure he gets a second call.
That was tough, man.
That was bad.
Loyal listener, too.
Yeah, stick to texting, Honey Glaze. That's more your lane, I think. 713-780-ESPN.
You're the one that drops the hammer on him. I didn't want to go that far,
man,
but okay.
That was the car wreck of the day, actually. I'm going to write that down now so I don't forget. Honey Glaze Branham, early nominee for car wreck of the day. First ever call. Atrocious. Let's see if Allen's any better. 713-780-3776. I have a bad taste in my mouth from Honey Glaze Branham going to the call line, Allen. Please be better than Honey Glaze.
Oh, Honey Glaze got me sweating over here, man. That was rough. But, yeah, I just wanted to call in and say I think the draft lost some of its luster. You know, these kids are already coming in rich. You know, you used to watch the emotion on stage and, you know, hugging the commissioner. You just changed a generation's or a family for a couple of generations' life. You know, you see a lot of these guys come from, you know, wherever. And, yeah, you don't see that emotion, and we forget it as a TV program. You know, but I'll hang up and listen. Just wanted to make that point.
I can understand that. I think, for the most part, those of us that are just looking purely from a football perspective, I think it's more the talent level of this year's draft at the sexy positions. But I understand how that could be maybe to some degree for some people. But, look, I mean, they're all suited out and bling-blinged up, and everybody's giving – they're sponsoring them to wear and do things, you know, the entire time that they're at these drafts. I just think that it's more about the talent level that's not in this draft as opposed to pretty much every year, except for quarterback. Quarterback a couple years ago was a bad draft with the Kenny Pickett and that draft.
I think it's because of everything else going on. And, like, I think it's a good point, Allen. Like, yes, players nowadays are well off before they come to the NFL. Mm-hmm. So maybe you don't have those stories of, you know, a kid coming from poverty and changing his parents' life. But I still feel like you have emotion of being drafted.
For sure.
Like, you're living out a lifelong dream. Like, does it lessen it a bit? Do you lose a little luster? I won't deny that. But I don't think the reason that I watch the NFL draft is to see those moments. Maybe I'm in the minority there.
You know, I'm with you. Like, when he was making that point, I understood what he said, because you always get, like, the Tom Rinaldi piece, and you hear about the home life he came
Cinderella
from.
Stories,
you hear those. Obviously, Deshaun Watson had that story, and, well, things went differently after that. But, like, I've never watched the NFL draft, like, rooting for guys to make millions of dollars. Like, I'm just not that invested in them now having, you know, seven figure bank accounts. Like, okay, what does that do for me? I don't care.
I think, and you know,
good for them, but
from the standpoint of Nick Caserio, he seems to be not just a wheel and dealing son of a gun. He seems to be a guy that really likes having a bunch of draft picks and is creative with what he does with them, to where, from a Texans perspective, I would think that they would be more dialed in. Daryl Morey traded all of his draft picks away. He showed little to no value in draft picks and really loved dumping out of them. But, yeah, from a Texans perspective, it does feel that way. It is a little different. I can't really put my finger on it.
Texture says draft is for booger eaters.
Do booger eaters need offensive linemen, wide receivers?
Was that text from Paul?
Does Paul not like the draft?
He doesn't like NFL draft talk. He basically, it's kind of same take that he had about you in NFL film, you know, watching NFL film, posturing.
Yeah.
He thinks everyone talking about who they like in the draft is posturing because they don't know what they're talking about.
This year, I haven't really watched prospects this year in college like I had in the past.
Like Levis?
Yeah. That was fun. but I do, like, read up on players. And, like, there are people that I trust. Like, so I'll read their scouting reports on stuff. Like, I trust Lance. Like, Lance knows his ball, obviously. Daniel Jeremiah is a guy that I like to read. I do like reading Matt Miller from
ESPN.
Miller,
yeah.
So I like to – like, I think Jeremy Fowler does a good job. So – I read up their, like, reports on guys and then probably, like, steal their takes on certain players. I think McShay does a good job. McShay's podcast is very good. I'm sad he's not on ESPN anymore. So there's people that I look to share their knowledge with me. And if they like a certain player, usually I like a player. And it's kind of like, you know, looking at all of that and forming an opinion. I'm not sitting there watching tape, though, that's for sure.
I'm definitely doing homework. and especially at the key positions that I think the Texans are going to be looking at, focused on, possibly taking, to see who would the best two or three guys in each of those groups be, if it's wide receiver or offensive line or even a backup running back. So I'm doing a lot of that kind of homework, too. And I think some of the guys you mentioned are the guys that you've learned to trust over the years. But I'm always dialed in from a football perspective, because it's not just the teams that I root for. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that I want to see what other teams, how, you know, handle the draft to see if they can get better.
The trades are interesting to me, too, like seeing value there. My first priority when watching the draft is Texans' perspective. Mm-hmm. But I also like seeing where these players end up. Like, does Team X get a new receiver that changes right. the calculus of their offense? Where does Ginty specifically, but like, where does Ginty end up? Who's going to draft him? What does that do? And probably some fantasy implications there. I mean, I'm drafting year round.
Cooks for you too, right?
Yeah. Probably not have to worry about that in the first round this year.
No. But I mean, in the past, you've had some good stories come out of U of H that ended up in the league.
Yeah, like when Ed Oliver went, for sure.
DJ Hayden was a really good one.
Yeah. Rest in peace. First round. Yeah.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Out to the HRMP listener line. Philip, you're in the Hive.
Hey, guys. Just a thought I had on to make the draft a little more exciting. I get a little bored with it at times after the Texans pick, just because I know if they don't have a pick for another round or two, it could be a while to wait. And just anticipating a trade that may or may not come is not real that exciting for me. I thought, what if instead of sticking all the compensatory picks, you know, at the bottom of the round, what if they had effectively like a ping pong ball situation where if you had a compensatory pick for that round, it randomly would get assigned and announced during the draft. So let's say you have a third round compensatory pick for a free agent you lose, then randomly you get a pick in the third round that just gets announced suddenly. And then everybody has to scramble and go figure out, get on the phone. Do I trade? Do I move up? Do I get around them? I think it would add a little bit of excitement to it. You're still doing the same picks. You're just making them at random instead of at the end of the round. And one thing I'll leave you guys with that I've always wanted to see out of a prospect for the draft, I want to see an agent convince one of these higher draft picks. You wouldn't do this for a younger, you know, lower guy. But let's say you're a first-round pick, your quarterback taken 18th overall. As soon as you get done walking the stage, you go race for that private jet. You get on the plane, you skip all the parties, you get on the plane, you show up at the stadium, 6 a.m., ready to work, with the asking for the playbook, banging on the door, trying to get in. And just to show the fans you're professional, you care, that's your place, that's your team, you're ready to get to work. And too many of these guys, it's all about the ceremony and having a night and absorbing it in. I would just love it to see a kid go up there and act professional and just be excited to get to work. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
So Philip wants to turn the NFL draft into press your luck. High draft pick, and stop!
I look, it shouldn't happen, but I kind of like it. Texture. I mean, that would be a chaotic.
And then he wants to
TV
do Hard
event.
Knocks Draft Edition, where they get on the flight and they immediately go to work.
Texture says, tell me that caller wasn't a booger eater. Come on, Philip's not a booger eater. That's not. No, I
although I like the TV aspect of the random selection in the third round.
The Hardo showing up to work at 6 a.m. Like, this is the biggest moment of his life to date. Let him celebrate it.
It's a little cheesy. I see what you're saying. At 6 a.m.
Like, I see what you're saying, but let him celebrate the biggest moment of his life a little bit. And I kind of like the lottery idea, though. Now, it'd be difficult from a trade perspective, but we're doing this with compensatory picks. We're not doing this at the top of the first round. So I kind of like that idea.
You're also doing it if those picks end up in the middle of the round. You're also like screwing with everybody so that you're elongating the entire process, because you're going to have to give
it
more
take
time.
Long.
You have to give more time. If you're a general manager and suddenly your pick pops up in the middle of the round and you're like, okay, I've got these four guys identified, and I got to make a pick within a minute and a half or 30 seconds or whatever it is.
Nah, I mean, they'll have their big boards, their active big boards.
And they would still have their full allotment, whether it be five minutes.
But you like trades. Trades
minutes.
Are going to happen less with those picks.
Because you
don't even know when you're picking, and all of a sudden someone's trying to get that pick from you because they got a spot where they got to get a guy.
There'd probably be less trades there. That would be the downside of that. But, I mean, they have active draft boards. Like, I mean, Brian does a lot of fantasy football drafts. If Brian went from having the, penciled in the 44th pick and he moved up to the 37th, he'd be ready to go.
Sure.
He'd be ready to go.
No, I know. Like, I mean, and even, you know, there's always the crawl, even the draft prospect. I mean, the guys that do the draft analysis are saying the best five on the board are.
Yeah, they'll be ready.
But I'm sure that they would do it. I just think that they'd bitch about it.
Oh, for sure. They're going to do that about anything. Yeah.
Maybe you couldn't do it like announce it right as you're on the clock, but maybe you could do it at the beginning of each round. Like at the beginning of each round, you know, Goodell comes up and says compensatory picks in this round are moved into slots A, B, C, D, whatever. And then you move on. At least the teams at that point have a little bit of extra time.
So before the third round, on the clock. The compensatory picks will land, and you hear the pressure like,
no end to stop. Yeah, exactly.
You guys, y'all let off Philip here, man. The text line's being too harsh to Philip.
I actually like that idea. Now, the knock on the door at 6 a.m. idea, I don't like that at all.
Stop.
We're not going to read that. We're not going to read you say that Philip is a booger eater. Come on. We're not only a couple booger eater Phillips. Philip is get off my lawn guy. Stop making fun of Philip. What year did Philip graduate from A&M? Come on.
Why are we picking?
I like Philip. Philip's a good caller.
He loves you.
You are proving my point because he knows ball. Don't hate on Philip. Come on. Philip's a good guy. 713, and no more Philip insults. 713-780-3776. Draft boring. Let's get to the Daniel Jeremiah thing as well. A hint as to who the Texans want at 25. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business when it comes to getting your hair back. He's got a couple of different ways that he makes it happen. He's really good at a lot of things. He's here in the Houston Med Center. He does Botox, spa treatments, plastic surgery. But where I have personal experience is the Neograft procedure and PRP treatments. Absolutely fantastic. He handles his business. He takes care of you, and he makes sure that he does what he says, which is get your hair back. You can do it too. I had a free consultation with Doc a long time ago, and he explained everything to me. He could do the same for you. People off the street looking for that consultation, they pay $150. You don't pay a single thing because you're listening to me right now and you want to talk to him. All you got to do to get that done is go to 975hair.com and sign up for that consultation. Free of charge, you go in, they explain everything to you, you ask questions, they give you answers, and you can contemplate it from there. No signing on the dotted line, no commitments to be made or money out of pocket, just an option for you if you've experienced hair loss. Whether you're losing your hair, it's thinning, or you've got bald spots, these procedures take care of the problem. I had my forehead turn into an 8-head. I didn't think that I would be far off from having to shave my head, but instead, he got my hairline back because of the Neograft procedure and PRP treatments. PRP, we've heard about it with athletes for their joints. It's also done with hair. It's like fertilizing your lawn and taking hair that's still there, just maybe not as thick and lush as it used to be. And with the PRP treatments, you get it back to where it once was. And from the standpoint of the Neograft procedure, it's like re-sodding your lawn. You're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. He takes some of that hair and the follicles, repurposes them to where you need them most. You see the follicles as soon as the procedure's over, and in 6 to 9 months, you see the full results, and believe me, you will be ecstatic. Check him out today. He's always got ways to take care of Houstonians and ESPN 97.5 listeners, but he wants to make a difference, and you could be next in line. Go to 975hair.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.